and teaching and talking about ecclesia more and more, and even practicing what that actually looks like on specifically Wednesday evenings. And becoming what Jesus said that he was building in Matthew 16. And I still believe that there's more revelation for that and more understanding, but I believe it's important that we begin to move into that with the understanding that we do have and keep moving forward. But I just want to encourage those of you that, and I don't want anybody to feel like guilty if you don't come on Wednesday or do, or, you know, we're not like that anyway, where we feel like you've got to be here every time we're open, the doors are open. Because really, on Wednesday specifically, we want people that really feel like they're supposed to be here for that, and that's fine. So I don't want you to feel like, hey, or if you can't make it, that's fine, or you just don't want to come, that's fine too. I mean, you understand what I'm trying to say there, you know? But I want to encourage those of you that come. I really believe, and I think we're seeing some effects, because when we pray, I don't believe it's just our body doing everything, but we are connecting with others, because I believe others are really praying and doing, you know, doing some things. And really, a lot of Wednesday night, what we're doing is really practicing hearing the voice of God. What is God saying? And then just saying that. And that really is the way we should always be praying, basically. I mean, we can make our requests made known to God, even though God, we may not be hearing that. Desires and things, and that's okay. But that's not what Wednesday is really about, bringing our prayer requests. It's really practicing, and as we've talked a lot about hearing and recognizing the voice of God, that's just so key. And I'm not 100%. I'm far from that. And always hearing and recognizing it's God speaking, or is it me or my desire. But we need to become more and more accurate that way if we're going to make a difference in our world and our own lives, of really hearing what God is saying. And then learning, when we hear what God is saying, just saying that, or just praying that, or prophesying that, or decreeing that, or speaking that over somebody's life. And so I just want to encourage those that are coming, because sometimes, you know, prayer can be work. It can be. It could be kind of work. It can be laborious. It could be boring at times. It could be, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I show up on Wednesday night and it's like, I got nothing. You know, I just got nothing. I don't feel, you know. But we shouldn't be looking for a feeling, you know, because God wants to use everybody. And it's interesting, too, I've noticed sometimes some people on Wednesday night really have a lot of things from the Lord, and maybe the next night they don't, somebody else does. I like that, where God uses everybody. But I want to look real quickly here, and I do mean quickly, at Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to read it, beginning with verse 11. Now, Jesus did this. It says, and he was speaking about Jesus. You can go back and read this in context. He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And this is where we have coined the phrase fivefold ministry gifts, or ministry offices. So fivefold gifting offices are what? Apostles. And he said he gave some. So not everybody's an apostle, not everybody's a prophet, not everybody's a pastor, not everybody's a teacher, not everybody's an evangelist. But there are those in the body. And sometimes you may be like, they kind of cross over. You may have a pastor that may be very apostolic, or a pastor that's very prophetic, or a pastor that's very evangelistic, or vice versa, or very much a teacher. My point in this is every one of us need all five of these speaking into our life. If we didn't, then Jesus wouldn't have gave them. Okay, because let's read further. He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why did he give these? 12 says, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, or the equipping of the congregation, or the equipping of people, to equip them. For what? For the work of service. You know, there's stuff to do. There's work. How boring would it be if we didn't have work? Okay, one, amen. Maybe not your particular work. I'm just talking work in general. Something to do. We need something to do. God gave Adam what? He gave him a job in the garden. He's created us. Okay, let's back up again for the, I meant this to be quick. The equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Fivefold ministry gifts are for what? To equip people to do what? The work of service in the kingdom on earth. And when that happens, when that's functioning correctly, look at what this says. It builds people up. It edifies. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. All five of these giftings are going to be in practice and in manifestation, if you will, in the body until we all come to a unifying of the faith. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature to the measure of the fullness or the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result of this, of the fivefold equipping, of the building up, of maturity, the result of that will be that we will no longer be children. We will grow up and become mature. We won't be tossed in here by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Oh, that sounds good. Let's follow that. Oh, that sounds good. That tickles my ears. Doesn't matter if we have scriptural evidence for it or not. It sounds good. By every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together. Oh, there's some pain right there. The whole body being fitted together. And held together by what every joint supplies. You know, every one of you have a vital, and I do mean vital, heart and purpose in the plan of God and in the body of Christ. Every one of you. Regardless of age. Every one of us have that. Not just the person standing up here speaking, not just the pastor, not just the fivefold ministry, every person. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working. If there's proper working, there's what? There's improper working. But it says according to the proper working. Of each individual part. You are an individual part. I am an individual part. And all of that, working together, functioning together as we're fit together, causes the growth of the body for the building of up of itself in love. That excites me. That's an exciting passage. That's a promise from God. That's laying out His principles. Look, if we would get in order, if we would get in alignment. Hello, come on. Somebody, is anybody with me? I just need some feedback this morning. Feedback. It is vital that we recognize God's voice, that we hear it, and that we obey it. But it's also vital, too, that in this process of growth, that we recognize the gifts that God has gifted us with individually. And it's important that we begin to function in those gifts. Because we grow into our gifts. See, your gifts and your calling can take you places, though, that your character may not help you to sustain. That's why character growth is so important. But seeing both of these growing together and that we would be activated in the body of Christ. You know, there's lots of people, we don't know what our gifts are, what our callings are, what the place God. And that's one of the focuses I want to focus on this year too. For all of us, that we would discover our gifts, discover what God has called us to, and that we would begin to function in them. And you don't function in them perfectly when you begin. They're really at an immature state, you just need to keep practicing that and relying on the grace of God as you're walking in faith for that to grow, and you end up growing into your gift, and you begin to see that gift blossom and in front of you. It's just amazing. But what happens so often is if we get a little glimpse of what God has called us to, and all of a sudden we think, oh, I can never do that. And that alone, the fear of it, or the I can't do it, it's impossible, and that will keep us from ever stepping out and trusting God. Is that making sense? That often that keeps us from ever doing it, and we stay in that place of never really fulfilling the destiny God's given us and the purpose that He's called us into the body. Amen? But it's so vital, because we need to grow and to become mature. I was looking for an amen. Amen on that. Grow and mature in the things of Christ. Well, we're going to do this. I don't know if we're going to do this every Sunday, but we're going to do this from time to time. And what we're about to do next, one of the things what I'm doing, and I've talked to a few others to do, is try to help identify people's gifts and then give them opportunity in those gifts to function. And we're going to have Anna come, and she's going to share. And I don't know, when I hear Anna speak, she has a gift. She has a gift to communicate and articulate things that, especially for a younger person, that I don't know that I've ever really seen, to be quite honest. And I think she articulates things better than I can articulate things, just to be quite honest. And so we're going to give her some time this morning to come. Why don't you come and just share and to speak and what God has put on your heart. Does this work? Because if not, we're going to need to get the other one. I thought it did. Just tap it. I turned it back off. Here we go.
I'm only jumping up here because I want to put my Bible up here. Before we get started, I just want to pray real fast. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come. We thank you for your presence this morning, that you've been with us, that you are with us, and that you walk with us. And Lord, I just ask that you would come and pour out your grace for ears to open, for hearts to open, to soften. Lord, I ask that you would come and fill my mouth, that the words I speak would be what you want me to say. Lord, I ask that as we leave this building today, we would be more in love with you, that we would be re-plumb lined to what you have for us, God. That we would seek you with our whole hearts. We just thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for everything that you've done. And we say we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, I am really excited because I've been praying all week about what I wanted to talk about this morning. I'm like, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you want me to say, to share to everybody? And I get to talk about my favorite person, Jesus. And so I'm really excited. Go ahead and pull your Bibles out, if they aren't already out, because we're going to do some quick scripture searching right here. That's embarrassing. You don't have your Bible and you're in church. Just kidding. Youth. The first one is Isaiah 53:2. If I can find it. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I'm just going to list off a couple of scriptures that have been impacting my heart lately. Let's go to Psalm 113, 5 through 8. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 through 9. Sorry, I'm just hitting you guys with a ton of them. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And go to Revelation 1. favorite book in the Bible. And this is a picture of Jesus that we spent a lot of time studying at school. And it just strikes me and has been a lot more. It's John speaking. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band.
Through many tribulations we enter.
Okay. It's called warfare. Anyways, okay. And girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining. Revelation 19:11. It's the best passage in the Bible to be familiar with. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And last scripture, Revelation 21:22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. The gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are some of my favorite scriptures about Jesus. And when I was asking God, what do you want me to share? What do you want to say? And he said, just kind of talk about where your heart's been and what's going on. And my heart has been Jesus. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around in the economy, to look around in the world, to look in the world and see what's going on. The end times are coming. We're in the midst of it. We're going into it, and we're seeing it. And it's a perilous time to be living in. And there's only one thing that's going to keep his body rooted and grounded, and that's him. And there's only one thing that's going to transform his body to be the body of Christ that stands for righteousness, that stands against the tide of the evil one, that reaches out to those, that's the light to Israel, and that's him. And he's just been breaking my heart. This is funny, but when I'm on the treadmill, the Lord's told me I'm not allowed to run anymore because of my knees, and I need to give him more time, so I have to walk. Well, I get really bored, like really bored. And so what I've started to do is read different things while I'm walking on the treadmill. And I've been reading Mike Bickle's Jesus, My Magnificent Obsession teaching series. And he's just breaking my heart over his beauty. And I literally will be on the treadmill and just start sobbing, and we'll have to stop. And I'm like, end up on the ground worshiping Jesus and sobbing because of his beauty. And one thing that the Lord is doing through his church is he's raising up the Mary of Bethany's. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is being a Mary of Bethany. She's one of the women in the Bible that had some of the most impact and touched the heart of Jesus while he was on the earth in such a special way. And what did Mary of Bethany do? She sat before the feet of Jesus. She sat and she stared at him. It's the beholding and becoming principle. You behold his glory and you become like it. Being transformed from glory unto glory into righteousness and perfection. And He's just, I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry for it. I want to see him. I want to be like him. I want to know him. I want to literally have people look at my life and go, she walks out the Sermon on the Mount. She is taking the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Righteousness, the pure in heart. Like, I want to be all of those things. And what the Lord has told me is his body has to get back to its focus, and that's him, and it's Jesus. And all of these things are great. The ministries, the outreaches, the things, they're beautiful, and they're what we're called to do, but we're called to do those out of a heart relationship with Jesus. And I just want to call us as a body together. Quit looking around. Like, get your blinders on. Have dove's eyes. That's why it says that in Song of Solomon, because doves don't have peripheral vision. They can only see straight ahead, and a dove mates once for life. When its mate dies, that's it. It's sold out to one, and it can only see one. And that's what Jesus wants the church to be. He wants his body, his people to be that. That's what he just told me to speak about. It's calm down our schedules. This is something I'm having to work on. It's calming down my schedule and deciding what matters in life. And one thing that struck my heart, Alan Hood was speaking on it a couple of weeks ago at IHOP. And he was talking about when he stands before the Lord, and it's just him and Jesus. Jesus asks him, and he goes, what have you done with your life? What have you done? And he calls him unto account of everything. And he has forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb, which is a glory. But he also has to be accountable. And Alan started weeping on stage. And he goes, I want to look to Jesus and say, here, Lord, here's what I've done. And open up his arms and show his heart. And it's a heart that's full of vibrancy and full of love. It says, I laid it all down for you, Jesus. I gave it all to you, Jesus. I loved you, Jesus. And it's just burning and burning. I want to be one of those. I'm competitive. We all know that, those of you who know me. I want to be one of the ones that stands on that day. And I want to be clothed in glory that reflects the way I've lived before my Lord. I want to be one of the brightest in heaven. Not because I want to be, yeah, I did it. But I want to go, I gave it all to you, Jesus. I gave it to you. And that's what I want to encourage us all to do. The Lord is moving so mightily through his church right now. Like, he is moving, and he's calling people, and he's shifting them and arranging them, like Joe keeps talking about. He's shaking them into their place. And I just want to encourage us, can we go for the Lord together? Joe was talking about our callings and the things that we're supposed to do and the offices we've been given. I've actually had a couple people at school come up to me in the last week and talk to me. And they're like, I'm just so frustrated. I just am frustrated. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know what my calling is. What am I going to be doing in life? I want to know, no, no, no. And one thing the Lord's revealed to my own heart and my own walk is no. You need to know me. And out of me comes your calling. And out of me comes your place. And out of me comes who you are. Because you are in me and I am in you. So come and know me. And it's just really interesting the way that he does everything that he does. And I don't know. I love Jesus. And I want everybody around me to love Jesus. I want Jesus to be the thing that we talk about. I want Jesus to be commonplace. I want Jesus to be the person that we look to in the time of need, to look to in the time of joy, because he's real. I had this breakthrough revelation the other day. He's real. Like, I know it, but, like, you know it, and then he keeps showing you it's really real. And it was a scripture where he comes and he girded himself with a cloth and got on his knees, and he washed the feet of his servants. Like, he got on the ground, and he washed the feet. Those feet were nasty. Like, they wore sandals or barefoot. They were gross. And this is the God of Isaiah 40, the God of Job, the God that can hold the measure, like measure the heavens in the span of his hand. That's a really big hand, guys. Like, that's God. That's God. And he came down. If you think about pregnancies and women, and it's like at the molecular level that happens, that connection, and then a baby is birthed. How did God get that small? Have you guys ever really thought about that? I've been like thinking about this for the last week and a half, legitimately, like, and it's really bothering me because I don't understand it. And I'm never going to until like maybe someday down the road when I'm in heaven and it's all awesome and we're down here and going and Jesus explains it to me. But seriously, have you ever thought about it? That it says that Jesus was in the likeness of God. Jesus was God. That means Jesus was God. He had all the power of God. He had it. It says, in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. He created the heavens and the earth. It was through Jesus that that happened. The word of God. And how in the world did God become man? Why in the world did Jesus choose to do that? This is something that we should weep over instead of just say. This is something we shouldn't gloss through in the books of the Bible. This is something we shouldn't just read in a monologue in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and everything. God became a man. Like, he took on flesh. Why he did that? Because he loves us. And if somebody loves you that much, you should love them back. And you should spend time with them. Jesus is a real man. He has a real relationship. You don't want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you. Like, I don't know. If, like, you're in a relationship, you spend time with that person. You look to them. You study them. You figure out who they are. You learn who they are. You spend time with them. And you spend copious amounts of time. And then through that bursts into a greater and deeper revelation and relationship of who they are. That's what we should be doing with Jesus. That's who Jesus is. Jesus desires, John 17, Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am. All that you have given me, that they would be with me. That's why he came down to earth. And I don't know. There's just 100 different things that I've been thinking about this past week about Jesus and trying to figure it out, and I can't. And it's awesome because it just bugs me and I like it. But do we really know that he's real? Do you really know that he's real? That there really is, in the play of heaven, there's the Father sitting on a throne, shining like a jasper and a sardius star. Voices and lightnings and thunderings, like, picture that. That alone just kills you. But he's sitting up in heaven, and you have the seraphim, and you have the seven lamps, and you have the elders, the 24, around the throne, and you have the angels, and you have all of the saints from history past, and they're all sitting up there with him, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then standing next to him, you have a man who's got to look really short in comparison to God. That's what I think about. But you have a man in human flesh, arrayed in like the transfiguration on the mount. Only he's in his full glory because he's in heaven and he doesn't have to shield anything. Do we spend any time pondering what he looks like? Do we spend any time looking at him going, God, make me more like you? Jesus, help me to see you in your glory. How often do we pray those prayers? How often do we just sit down and go, God, who are you? Jesus, show me who I am so that I would see who I am the way you do, so that I could step out of the ash heap and I could come and rule and reign with you. He's sitting up there in human flesh, because he loves us that much. He paid the price. And not only did he do that, he's sitting up there constantly interceding with the Father, going, God, give him to me. God, let me come back for him. God, let me have him. Father, let me come. Father, let me go. Father, is it time yet? God, strengthen her. God, strengthen Rhonda. God, strengthen Matt. God, help Kim right now. Give her wisdom. Send the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour it out. The eternal God is sitting up there interceding for me right now. He's sitting up there interceding. And in the realization that I've come to is I live for Christ. My heart beats to know him. I don't want anything else in life. I don't want anything else except to know him, to see him, to love him, to lay it all down for him. Nothing else matters. And I want to see that in all of us because that will be displayed. You'll see it when somebody goes, I'm done. It's you, Jesus. I'm here for you. Jesus is supposed to be the culmination of everything because he's worth it all. He's worth it all. We're worth it. And class, I'm almost done. Sorry, Joe. You can tell me to be quiet whenever you want. In class, one of my teachers in my eschatology class, he was talking about how Jesus, when he preached, it was all from bridal language from the Israel tradition, their wedding traditions. And one thing that he said, and it just broke my heart, and I started crying in class, and then I cried over it, is in the Israel, and they have what's called the bride price, and it's what the father of the groom pays the family of the bride. And that bride price reflects the worth of the bride. That is what that bride is worth in the eyes of the father of the groom. And everything that I notice from the tradition Jesus said and Jesus did, and what was our bride price from the father of the groom to us? And it was Jesus. And so if you put it in those terms, what are you worth? You're worth the life of God. Because it wasn't just a man that died. God died. God died for us. And that just breaks my heart. And I sit and I hold it and I cry over it and I go, how can I hold anything back from you because you gave it all to me? How can I not? And so that's really all I wanted to say this morning. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us. He's beating for us. He has a heart, and he wants us. He seeks us. And it's time that as a body, we calm down and we focus. Jesus said that Mary of Bethany would be told, wherever the gospel was told, the story of her would be told before all men. I don't remember really a time where he said that about anybody else. Her most notable thing that she did was she sat before the feet of Jesus and looked at him and became like him. She moved his heart in a way that no one else did at that day. I want to be a Mary of Bethany because Jesus is real and he loves me and he loves each of you. And that's really all I have is just seek Jesus because he's awesome.
That was very good, and it's very, very timely, I believe, as well. Because there's so many distractions, there's so many other things, or even good, they're just good things, biblical things even, that can, if we allow them, take our focus off of the central theme, and that is who Jesus is. That's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just want to share something else before we leave this morning, and I think most of you, if not every one of you, got this handout the ushers were giving at the door. Did everybody get it? Know anything about it? I don't know if we had one for everybody. You guys were probably here earlier. I don't know if there's more out there or not. If not, we can get you some. It's an article that came out just the other day. I think it was yesterday when I read it, but I think it actually came out Friday. Rick Joyner wrote it, and it's Calling the Sons of Zadok. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm not going to preach from this morning. But I'm going to reference a couple things. And there's so many things in here that are just so good, that, and some things that we have talked about as well. It starts off just at the first sentence, says, America is suffering under a vacuum of leadership. And I agree with that so well with that, too. And one of... you can use the word judgment or discipline that God gives a nation is immature leadership. That's part of his judgment. And I think we see that all over, not just in our nation, but I think that's true in many areas, facets, even the seven mountains that we see that are ruling now is immature leadership. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is, and I mentioned this earlier, on Wednesdays, when we are just kind of practicing, if you will, hearing what God is saying and then speaking forth what God is saying, when I I was actually reading this from my computer, and I was mentioning it to Renee how good this was in a few points and what it was titled. And she remembered something, I think it was two Wednesdays ago. Matter of fact, Renee, if you would come up and just kind of share from this, something that she actually spoke and prophesied on a Wednesday night about Zadok.
Actually, when Joe was reading the Rick Joyner thing to me, and he said the name of it is Calling the Sons of Zadok, I went, oh my gosh. Do you remember on the 18th that the Lord, when we were gathered here for our Ecclesia meeting, the Lord had dropped that name into me. And honestly, I didn't even know who Zadok was, so I had to research it in the Bible. In Ezekiel 44, and some of you remember that we're here, and I tried, not very successfully, to try to express what the Lord had dropped in my spirit about Zadok and how we have entered into a time of the priesthood of Zadok, and which meant that these Zadok priests, which I just really loved what Anna ministered to, because, man, I believe that we are a company of people that love our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are sold out for Him, and we're going to go for it, which means we're going to also die. But anyway, but Zadok, those priests, which I loved, is that they were sold out to David, and David was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. And they were loyal to him, even though Absalom had all of Jerusalem, they had gone with Absalom. And very few people had remained faithful to David, and he's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. But there was a priesthood. Zadok and his sons remained faithful to Jesus. And David said to him, and they actually carried the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. They carried the presence of God. And so what the Lord had been speaking to my heart is David actually sent these priests into his home, into the inner place, into Jerusalem, to woo back God's people because they were in rebellion. And I just saw that this priesthood today, these priests of Zadok, were going into the family of God, and they're wooing and calling people back to Jesus. They're calling them back to their first love. And it was just so powerful, and I just wasn't even able to express it all. So when I got this, I was so grateful for Rick Joyner because he was able to articulate it a little bit better about what that was. But I think that we just want to encourage you that on Wednesday night, that what the Lord wants to drop in a corporate type of way, of an ecclesia type of a way, is what he's actually doing in his body so that we can align with him, we can legislate it, we can decree it, so that we can be that portal from heaven to earth, because his desire is to bring kingdom to the earth and for the whole world to see his glory, to see the Lamb, through us. And so I just, Joe and I are just so excited, about what God is doing with this whole message of restoration, of the foundational truth of ecclesia. Because, that word is a Greek word, and Joe and I were just talking about this morning. It is a non-exclusivary word, if that is a word, which means that everyone is welcome in the ecclesia. It's just not one or two people. So it's not the Jewish people, which the synagogue was just for the Jewish people. But it was for everyone. Everyone is welcome to come in and to hear from God and decree what God says. And everyone has the open door to do that. No one is above anyone else. This is what I love. God does give the fivefold, but we all have the priestly garment of Jesus Christ in our hearts. We all have, we all express the glory of the Lord in our spirit. So anyway, I'm just excited because, there was more in Samuel, and I could go on about what the Lord has showed me. But anyway, I just want to just encourage us all to, for those that do come on Wednesday, is even if it seems it's insignificant, you have no idea what it is, say what you're hearing, because it is important and it is significant. And you are important, you are significant, and you are needed.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a Greek word that we get an English word from, and the Greek word is idiotes. And it first became a word because people that were not involved in the ecclesia in Greek culture or involved in the political process, they were called idiotes. And that's the word we get idiot from. So, if you're not involved in the political process or ecclesia, I'm just saying, it's that's where the word came from. Idiot. You're welcome. I do want to turn your attention before we leave to the last page, because this is very, very important. And it says special note on the top in red. And I would like for you to read this whole thing, if you could, and see what the Lord speaks to you. But this is what's going on right now in our nation and politically because of the health care, the Obama health care law that was passed, that there is a lot of persecution against Christianity, and they are really have targeted the Catholic Church. And there's more to this health care law. There's more to the things that are going on that I believe the Lord wants to make us aware about so we can pray in alignment with Him and see His purposes. I really believe this is a very critical year. It's a critical time. Our election's coming up. The ones that are running for office now, I do believe, too, that if some things don't change, Obama very well could be reelected. I don't think that's out of the question at all. And I think the body of Christ has got to stand up because I just tell you, if he's reelected, I'm not going to say anymore. I'm trying to keep from being too political, but political enough, if that makes sense. Praise the Lord. God, let's just pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you are God, and we